Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair. We've had some technical challenges here in the Gene Bosch studio at Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band and voiceofvashon.org, streamed worldwide from Singapore on one side of the world to Stockholm on the other. All of the ships at sea, all of the aircraft in the air, and all of the places in between. So we think we've got it working. The panel seems to be showing that it is. The little needles are bouncing back and forth. And I'm going to carry on for my half an hour on the assumption and the presumption that this thing is broadcasting. And that's why we skipped the music, because we weren't sure that we would even be able to get on the air. So, as is my custom, I always start with the binnacle list and the sheer overwhelming tragedy of the binnacle list today is that in this great land that all of us continue to serve, we are now at over 400,000 of our people. Chairs that are empty around the table, families that are without a mother or a father or a grandparent, or even more tragically, because they are at the beginning of their lives, children. I choose not to get into either the politics of it or the operations of it or who did what to whom or did not do what or when or how. What I do hope, and what I am confident is going to happen, I'm confident because we've had a promise of this, is that when all of this is astern of us and is bobbing around in the wake, the mush ice that is astern that we have broken through to get to the point where we are no longer logging 3,000 deaths every day, and we are back to a normal rhythm of birth and life and death, that there be a what is called in the military an after-action report. After every mission that for which I was responsible, we always held a wash-up. And the purpose of that wash-up was to find out the things that we could have done better, to write a report which would be part of the final report for the mission itself so that we would not repeat the mistakes that we had made during that particular mission. Complex missions and this whole business of how we deal with this virus is very, very complex. Nobody would presume otherwise. Although there are elements of it that are relatively simple and should be treated as simple and dealt with simplicity rather than endowing those elements with complexity that they neither deserve nor that they have. But that there be an after-action report, a wash-up, and that this after-action report be brutally honest, and I can assure you that everyone for which I was responsible was brutally honest. Because it is only with that brutal honesty that you come to realize and then accept and then make the necessary changes so that those particular mistakes are not repeated again. Whether we go into the depths of whose fault something in particular was is not nearly so important as to find out what those faults were and then to deal with them. I fear, and in fact I doubt that it would be anything other than inevitable, that there be some politics involved in this. Because there have been, right from the beginning, politics as well as operational mistakes. But shame on us all if we do not take the opportunity to learn from this, such that whatever that number is, and it's probably going to be over 500,000 by the time we get to the middle of February, that those lives would not only no longer be with us, but also that their final contribution would be to a healthier America and to a healthier world. And that's what I have to say about that. On a personal note, the state of Washington has decided that all hands over 65 are to receive the vaccine. And I am now being flooded with communications from both the TRICARE, which is the military health organization for those of us who are honored retirees, and also from the Department of Veterans Affairs, that my name is working its way up to the top of the queue. And I will go ahead and take the shot, plural, when it's my turn. Not before, not after, but when it's my turn, according to the best advice of all of the medical practitioners who are charged with taking care of us. And so I am also asking that everyone who is one of Captain Joe's people who gather around the captain's chair with me every week on the Voice of Vashon, that when you're told that it's your turn, that you fall in for muster and go ahead and take the shot. And then continue to follow all the precautions, in particular the wearing of the masks, the fathom 6 foot equals one fathom, the fathom distancing, and really trying to limit the being close aboard with people who are not in your own personal family, and in particular those for whom you are responsible and accountable. I've got a help wanted, as I am always willing and happy to to give help wanted notices for island businesses that that I patronize, or island businesses that make it known to me that they could use some help. And so one of the places that I go to frequently is to see Doug at the ACE Service Center. And Doug is also one of the places where, when we're able to reinstitute it, the emergency head program will go back into effect. And the head, which is in Doug's establishment in Vashon Town, is one of the ones which is on that list of heads where people who find themselves in need of such a facility can go in, no purchases required. And if you find that you need or want something that Doug sells, then he would be happy to have your custom, but it's not one of the requirements. So now Doug needs a little bit of help, and a number of island businesses have either cut back on their employees or have found that their business has diminished such that they're not able to keep all of their employees. And so Doug finds himself in the happy situation of needing some help. I saw him this morning, and I did a virtual sanitation inspection of the head, and at the same time asked him the qualifications that he was looking for. And he told me that somebody hopefully who has some experience in servicing small gasoline engines. Secondly, someone who can handle sales, my own addition to that is somebody who knows how to sharpen chains for chainsaws. I have to make also an editorial comment here, which Doug did not ask me to do, and that is to point out that Doug is one of the good guys on the island. He has been incredibly generous incredibly caring about the people that work for him. And so I can heartily recommend, if you're looking for some employment, Doug also asked me to point out that he can train and will train for someone to come and work for him. So if you are looking for employment and you think that you could either be trained into or already have the skills that Doug is seeking, then I urge you to get in touch with him. That is Doug at the ACE Service Center. We've not talked much about the separation of my beloved United Kingdom from the European Union, but the final steps to that were taken on the 31st of December, and the United Kingdom is now completely separated, or almost completely separated, or somewhat separated from the European Union. Great Britain, of course, for centuries has relied on imports in order to live, and that continues today. One of the reasons why in the First World War and in the Second World War that convoys going from the New World, from Canada and from the United States, to the United Kingdom were so important was that they had then, as they must now, import. And so the queues of trucks or lorries, as they are called in Brit language, the queues of lorries to come across from, to get onto the ferries that come across the English Channel have been piling up in France, and the returns piling up over on the British side. So we still don't know all of the effects. We're only 2 weeks into the new year. But the effects on the life of the United Kingdom are going to be profound, no matter what form the final analysis trade back and forth between the UK and the European Union takes. I watch all of these things very carefully because I have friends who live in both places, in the Union and also in the United Kingdom, and I want their lives to be as stress-free as we can ever have in a world which becomes increasingly more and more stressful. In the Arctic, we talked last time and the time before that about the expansion into the Arctic of the Chinese and the expansion across the North Sea route, across the top of Siberia by the Russians. They are building, have completed, and are still building, still have under construction, I believe, several very large, very powerful nuclear-powered icebreakers. And those ships are built in particular to provide the escort service through the North Sea route, which runs from Murmansk at one end to Vladivostok on the other. In May, in this coming May, the Russians believe that the North Sea route will be open sufficiently that they will be able to run a conventionally powered liquefied natural gas carrier across through the North Sea route to Asia. And right now the plans are based on the ice models, the prediction of ice cover and ice strength that will be covering the North Sea route in May, and that probably will be with an icebreaker escort, and it probably will be one of the big nuclear-powered icebreakers. One of the ones that the Russians have just put into service is Arctica 2, and she is a successor to the first Arctica, which was also nuclear, and the first Arctica was the first surface ship to go to the North Pole. So the Russians are really serious about this. They have dozens of icebreakers, both nuclear-powered and conventional, The nuclear ones, of course, cannot go to the Antarctic, or they cannot go into the treaty area in the Antarctic. But they were built, purpose-built for ice escort across the North Sea route. So it remains to be seen whether or not the warming trend continues. If it does, then the ice cover will shrink, and it will have for a much shorter ice season, and we can expect to see much more traffic in the Arctic, which always brings with it the risk of holing in the ice for ships which are not icebreakers. They may be ice strengthened, but still can be damaged. And it remains to be seen whether more and more of those ships. I will tell you that this liquefied natural gas carrier, I've seen a photograph of her. She has a traditional icebreaker hull, but she's not an icebreaker in the sense of either her scantlings. Scantlings is a term that means dimensions. It's sort of an abstract, not a marine engineering term. It means a ship with heavy scantlings means that she's very strong. And icebreakers, of course, are very, very strong. And ice-strengthened ships, not so strong and not so powerful, but are able to survive. So this particular ship is an ice-strengthened with an icebreaker hull, and she will go across with an icebreaker escort. So in May, I'll be watching for this to happen. And in the meantime, back in October, going back 100 years ago, the tall ship, the four-masted bark, by definition a bark, B-A-R-Q-U-E, a bark, is a sailing ship which is square-rigged on the first mast. The aftermast, or the mizzen, is fore and aft-rigged. Our Eagle is a three-masted bark, and Seadoff, which is the ship about which I am talking right now, is a four-masted bark. You look her up, she's spelled S-E-D-O-V in our alphabet. I don't know what it is in the Cyrillic one, but type in S-E-D-O-V and you'll come up with a photograph of her. And she was built in 1921 in Germany, and she was either bought or taken as war reparations by the Russians in 1947. I suspect that she was taken as war reparations. That's how we got our Eagle. And so she is this year 100 years old, and she made a transit through the North Sea Passage. She made that transit ice-free in October. So that must have been really something to see going across the top of Siberia in October before the hard ice started to form up with a sailing ship, 100 years old, manned by cadets, just like our Eagle is manned today by cadets. Wonderful, wonderful way to train proper seamen. There is no better way for seamen to learn about weather and wind and all of the other things which act on a sailing ship than to actually train in square rigger sail. And I was fortunate enough to be one of those. I trained an Eagle for the 4 years that I was a cadet. So you can find a photograph of her, what she looks like, and the Russians take really good care of her so that she will continue to sail for a number more years. Back in 1790, the Revenue Cutter Service was established by Alexander Hamilton, and in 1915, the name was changed to the Coast Guard, U.S. Coast Guard, and one of the missions then was to combat piracy. Here we are, all of these hundreds of years later, we're still combating piracy, and there's been an upsurge of piracy off of the west coast of Africa, especially down in the Gulf of Guinea. And not only where ships are being captured, but crews are being kidnapped and being held for ransom. So there's a great push, not interestingly enough, from the IMO, the International Maritime Organization, but from the countries that are allied together in a league of African nations to put together some sort of a multinational force to combat this particular thing. And you would think after all of these years that that would have been an ongoing activity. And yet, last year, the year 2020, there were a number of ships captured and a number of people who have been kidnapped and held for ransom. So I will be keeping a weather eye on this particular thing. The Coast Guard, our Coast Guard right now, is stretched pretty thin in its duties all over the world. But that's the kind of thing that we did from the very beginning. And we continue to do it within our sphere of influence. Speaking of Coast Guard search and rescue missions, recently a floating tiki hut was stolen down in the Florida Keys. Now, a tiki hut is a hut with, it apparently is pushed around with maybe an outboard motor, or maybe it's towed. It has a steering wheel. It has a thatched hut on it, but it's essentially a floating bar. And down in the Florida Keys, north of Key West, someone, some culprit, stole a floating tiki hut. Well, the Coast Guard, ever ready, semper paratus, found and recaptured the tiki hut down in near Key West in Hawks Reach, I think was the name of the channel where it was found. So all citizens can sleep well tonight because that particular floating menace has been recovered. The person who stole it apparently had passed out at the wheel, thus making the recapture relatively easy and non-confrontational. And there's a wonderful photograph showing the search and rescue crew, one of whom is sitting at the wheel, looking very professional, very maritime-like, very mariner-like, very, very Horatio Hornblower-like, looking very Nelson-esque, sitting at the wheel of this tiki hut bar, floating tiki hut bar with the thatched roof. So if you want to go on to the onto a search engine, you can find that as well. So I cannot pass by the situation in Washington, D.C. today. Tomorrow, of course, is Inauguration Day. Washington, D.C., the national capital, the District of Columbia, is a particularly precious place to me because I went to high school there. My family lived in the district for a short period of time. I have been in and out of the, I've been stationed there twice at Coast Guard headquarters. My last tour of duty there was my twilight tour, the last one before I became an honored retiree, where I was the fleet manager for a much larger fleet of Coast Guard icebreakers and the program manager for everything that the Coast Guard did in the ice anywhere in the world. I've lived in the district as well as in Arlington County. And I am old enough to have ridden on every mile of the trolley system when the trolleys were above ground. I can take you to a couple of places in the city where we can still see the tracks that were laid in the streets on F Street. I can remember my dad playing in an orchestra which he led in a place called the Crescent Cafe at 14th and New York Avenue. And then right across from that, diagonally across from that, that intersection was the Translux Theater, which showed only newsreels. So I have deep connections as do I to Chesapeake Bay, and do I to Cambridge and to a lot of other places in the world. I have deep connections and deep affection for our national capital. I believe, I've not really checked this out, I've not gone into the Constitution, but I believe that in order to make it a state, it would require a constitutional amendment. But that's something I need to check out personally. But my point is that the district in all of its flavors and all of its colors is a very precious place to me, not just because I'm an American citizen and not just because all of the buildings, and in particular the Capitol and the White House, the Treasury Building, which is just a few clicks away from the White House and has out in front the statue of Alexander Hamilton. All of these memories are as firm in my heart and mind today as they were so many decades ago. And to see the city blocked off with concertina wire, I'm reminded of Da Nang during Tet. I was in Da Nang during Tet of 1968. And I'm reminded of that, how it has become a bunkered fortress. I recognize that we have to have all of this security. And I recognize that we have to be vigilant and ready. I accept the need for all of those things. But I take this, just like other failures in our national psyche and in our national personality, to be a personal humiliation. And that is what I have to say about that. So, I've got a few other things that I'm going to get to maybe next week, because next week either I will have my friend Bill West, who we're going to talk about fish and fisheries. Bill was going to be on with me today, but he has had to postpone that because he's getting ready to drive the school bus again, and he needs to get a physical in order to be allowed to do that. And we certainly want him to be ready to drive those children around when we're able to have our children go back to school face-to-face with teachers, which is where they ought to be. So I have come to the end of my time, and I thank Susan and Truman for having worked the board so that we could... Susan is sitting across from me, and she just flashed me the fingers crossed sign that all of this is working the way that it's supposed to do. So, all of Captain Joe's people out there, my wish, my hope, and my command from the captain's chair is as it is every week, especially those of you who are responsible for and accountable to people for whom you are responsible. Watch out for them. Cover their six, watch their six, and take care of yourselves. Because if I get sick, for example, both Sailor and Sunshine, who are my in-house residents these days, have not completed the training program for taking care of me. And so I've got a number of people, all of whom are Captain Joe's people, for whom I am responsible and accountable, just as do most and many of you. And so therefore, I'm counting on all of you to take care of yourselves, take care of each other, take care in particular for the people for whom you are responsible and accountable. Your captain is up in the chair, on station, watching properly. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again.